Well, it is really fun for us to be here, and especially with this group. Re-engage really resonates for me and Lucina, as you'll hear from our story. And I often think about the fact that I'm really one of the biggest beneficiaries of Watermark. God has used this place just to radically change my life, and as a result, change my marriage and relationship with my kids and friends and everything. And so Lucina and I have been married. We just crossed the 40-year mark, which is a miracle. We have a son and a daughter and a son-in-law. Our son is actually on staff here, which is really fun. Our daughter and son-in-law are members here, and they serve in the premarital ministry. And then we have, I think there's a picture with our two grandkids. And then we had an incredible joy. 3 weeks ago, we added another grandson. And so that picture was just taken so that it's, you now see the complete picture of our family with our grandson. Because of our story, which is a miracle, which God does regularly in life. Watermark did a video about 12, 15 years ago. And so, but it really tells the story. This part doesn't change. And so we're going to have you watch this as kind of an intro to catch you up with the background of me and Lucina. When Lucina and I got engaged, I think most people would have said, with where we were, that if anyone had a high likelihood of and probability of having a long-lasting, fulfilling, joyful, fun marriage, it was us.
From the honeymoon on, I got to see that how on opposite sides of the spectrum we were from a personality perspective. We're both pretty driven people, pretty kind of type A people. And yet, there's some real distinct differences.
Really, I felt like we were doing great. That, you know, we were fulfilling kind of the design of what marriage is supposed to look like. And that that got radically altered one Sunday afternoon.
He would withdraw, like the newspaper up, and kind of la 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 la, I can't hear you, and I would get louder, and I would scream, I would yell, I threw hairbrushes across parking lots, I stormed, I threw lots of tantrums, really something like you would see a child do.
She said, I need to talk to you. And I said, great, let's sit down and talk. And she said, well, you need to know that I don't love you, that I don't really like you. The thought of being married to you is repulsive to me. That I look forward now each week to the fact that I get to travel and leave on Monday morning or Sunday night. And I'm miserable. And you also need to know that that I made a commitment as a follower of Christ before God to stay married to you until death do us part. And so I'm going to be praying for your death.
I lost hope in God, in His ability to fix it. I memorized verses, I could quote them. I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I knew that I had to crucify my flesh every day and take up the cross, and I knew that I was supposed to, in honor, prefer one another. And I knew those things, and yet they fell apart on a daily basis, and I began not to just lose hope, but I began to hate.
One of my first thoughts was, God, what are people going to think? I've got to do something so that people don't view me as a failure. But as I moved through that, I think the Spirit started to take me where I was, and He started to humble me.
But beginning to look at how I related on a day-by-day basis, how I gave in to my flesh on a day-by-day basis, when I began to own that and own the little things, that's when I really began to see, a change.
I'll be real honest with you. It got a whole lot worse before it got better. It was quite a journey. It was not overnight transformation. We set out on, as we look back, you know, on a marathon.
You know, we were polarized. You do your thing, I do mine, and kind of never the twain shall meet. Today, I am loved. I'm cherished. I know I am the most important thing to him. And nothing else comes before that. And no matter what we face and the difficulties that we cross now or even in the future, he is for me.
You know, I'm still a fallen man. I'm still, God's still growing me and teaching me. Lucina loves me enough to remind me of some of the ways that that I tend to isolate.
Man, if anything, the greatest thing we have now is that we got friends that when I think I'm doing well and he doesn't hear me and I like get louder and louder and someone will do a check and they'll go, wow, Lucina, I just got to tell you what I hear and see you doing.
The one thing we've learned that's really important and I think a key to the health of our marriage is we are very, very quick to work through issues and conflict. We keep very short accounts with each other. We get to a healthy place again very quickly.
It doesn't matter what has happened, he can redeem anything. And that's what he's done. He's taken my mistakes, my pain, my failures, and redeemed them for good. And really has given us a future and a hope together forever.
Some reason I watched that, my wife looks the same, and I just don't quite look the same as I did. So we're going to share with you a little bit more of the rest of the story. You know, ours is really a story of transformation of me that God then used to transform our marriage. And, you know, as we look back, we got derailed. I think largely because I wasn't really fully committed to follow Christ, and I wasn't committed to his design for marriage. And that started to produce fruit in my life that led to where we were. You know, the result, it was amazing how quickly that progression goes from selfishness to withdrawal to deadness and then to hopelessness in just, you know, a matter of years. And it led us down to a really path of painful betrayal of everything that we vowed on our wedding day. You know, for me, I was just very self-centered and focused on my needs. I was very performance-based. A lot of what I did was a function of what she did and whether or not she deserved my love. And really, if I felt like she was loving me, it was very, very conditional. And, you know, conflict emerged, as you can see. And when that happened, I would just withdraw. I didn't want to have to deal with it. And it was easier for me just to pull back. And as you saw, you know, Lucina would lean into that, wanting to force me to engage. And for me, I didn't love her. I didn't pursue her. I didn't try to understand her. I didn't cherish her, but I felt like that we just had a normal marriage. You know, when she said, "Hey, we need to talk," I was like, "Great." You know, I was just oblivious to the reality of where we were, because I was just really trying to avoid all of that. And it's just what the enemy wanted to take me down and to take us down. And I think the big thing is, you know, I left Lucina alone. I left her in a state that was very vulnerable and hopeless. And again, the result, the tension and the deterioration in our in our physical relationship, every aspect of a relationship. And so what I did as I withdrew, I just resorted to pornography and masturbation instead of really pursuing her. And that just even more so drove me towards isolation. I just didn't even want to have to deal with it. And the significant thing that I didn't realize until later was just it led to, again, just incredible vulnerability for Lucina with her journey.
I do know many of you can relate to what we're saying tonight, and it's really shocking to me how quickly you go from "I do" at the altar to no, I don't. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be married to you. And that's where we were. And so I'm going to give you just five things that really led, and you're going to hear, to my part of the story. The first is I trusted my feelings versus what I knew to be true, because I was a believer. I was a believer. I had journaled my despair. You saw on the video that I was memorizing scripture. I prayed, and still I felt miserable in my marriage. And I felt like God was silent. No matter what I was saying and doing, He wasn't responding, not that I could hear. Two, I knew nothing of perseverance, really, at that point in my life. I didn't understand it. And the shocking thing to me, not shocking, the amazing thing that God does is the verse that I've always clung to in this section actually was part of the journey this morning. For those that are Watermark attenders, and even if you're not, and you want to read through the Bible with us, you can do that on the journey. And we happen to be in Hebrews and in Hebrews 12 today. And I love this reality because it mirrors what I needed to learn. Therefore, the writer says, lift drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight your path, the one for your feet, so that what is lame, yes, even your marriage, may not be put out of joint, but may rather be healed. See to it that no one fail to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. Well, I should have heeded that verse. I should have known it, but I didn't. And you heard on the video, I instead became bitter in my heart and my soul, and I let that color all of my thinking. I literally began to loathe my husband. Three, that led me to the fact, well, what I was, and he's already mentioned, I was oblivious to my own vulnerability. I thought I was strong. I thought I was bulletproof, and this led to business as usual. I was in the corporate world. I traveled, as you heard, and all that just led to, that's a recipe for disaster, to be physically apart and miserable. An emotional affair ended in adultery for me. The guilt and the shame were absolutely overwhelming. But so was the affirmation and the attraction that I felt. And I realized not very long into it that I was powerless to stop it because of the affirmation I got there, unless I cut ties and got back to what I knew to be true and did it with renewed desperation. So I clung now to 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or try Psalm 103:11 and 12, that as far as or as high as the heavens are, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. And I really clung to that. And I believed that since I had confessed this to God, and actually I had a friend very close to making the same mistake, she had confessed to me, and I told her my story and said, "What you need to strengthen what you have. Do not do what you are thinking about doing." But I committed to tell no one else. Because what good could come from that? Nothing. Nothing that I could see. Everyone would be hurt. It would be painful for everyone involved. And so, I didn't say a word. And it was hidden. And it remained hidden for a number of years. And besides, as I looked around and the church we were in and the Sunday school we attended, everyone, all the couples around us were living happily ever after. What a lie. That was not true, but that's how you feel when you look. So that takes me to four. I began to focus on my part, which now I knew was huge. I began to look at me as the problem instead of Kyle. And we began to slowly walk forward. I began studying God's word with other women, another key for me that I needed to have in my life to hold me accountable. And then came the breakthrough. And that didn't come till 13 years later when we began Watermark here. At the very first leader retreat, the teaching for the leaders that night gathered came from Joshua 7. And in that, it's a passage that tells about the sin of Achan. And Achan hid things. And because of it, the nation of Israel suffered. And we were challenged, if there's anything in your life that you are hiding, then this body of believers, this little thing that was the engine that could, just beginning with a couple hundred of us, it will suffer. I couldn't make it to my room without sobbing. And Kyle and I together, I was sobbing. And he's like, what in the world is wrong? And this story came out. Yeah, go evaluate your heart. I sure did. And confession followed. The rawness of our pain, though, led to new growth and an understanding I never thought was possible. True forgiveness and an unconditional acceptance, unconditional love that I'd never known before. And that takes us to where we are now. And really, where we have been for years, by the way. This is not new. This is now almost 20, it's longer than 20 years that our story has been marked by love and worth. I now know, like you heard on the video, I know I'm loved by my King and by this man. I know I'm accepted unconditionally by my Father God and by this man. I know I'm valued and worth dying for by my Savior and by this man. I also know now that Kyle will never satisfy the deepest longing of my heart. Only God can do that. And I must never look to him alone to be that for me. But he's an awfully close second and the greatest living testimony, I believe, to the source of my salvation.
So the three things that Lucina and I really want to leave with you. Number one is that it's never too late to be faithful today. You know, I look back and I'm so thankful that I didn't get just so immersed in the hopelessness and the shame and the guilt and all of that with the past, and rather just focused on being faithful today. And, you know, God brings dead things back to life. It's all through our Bible, and we see it in our society all around us, situations that are hopeless. And so just clinging to that, and that, hey, if I just do the right thing today and am faithful, then I've got hope that God does supernatural miracles constantly. Number two, and Lucina and I were just talking about this earlier, how God uses really our failures to refine and mold us into all he intends us to be. And again, you see that all through the Bible. You see it with Moses. You know, he was a murderer, wrote a big chunk of the Old Testament. You see it with Paul. He was a terrorist, killed people, big part of our New Testament. You see it with David. He's an adulterer. And so my story is not a whole lot different than their story. And those are people that God used. And my past doesn't define me. My faithfulness today going forward, my identity in Christ defines me. And third, and this was one that it took me a while to really grasp, that God either causes or allows everything that happens. And a lot of times that's the hard things in our life, and there is no plan B with God. And it would have been easy with where we were to say, okay, well, you know, based on what we've done, my history of addiction to pornography and masturbation, and I was a serial adulterer, as God defines it. And Lucina, it's like, well, I guess we're just not useful because of that. And it couldn't have been any more any more true than, hey, that just prepared us for how God is going to use us. And He takes us where we are. He uses our experiences and all that He has for us. And then He allows us still to experience what I would say a joy and fulfillment and a passion and fun and an affirming marriage that for us is really beyond what I imagined, you know, on that day that we got married. And so it's regardless of our journey. So Mandy, I'd love to pray for these folks. And just Father, thank you. It never ceases to just move my heart to gratitude when I just think about the mess that I was, the ways that I caused messes just all around me, the way that you take dead, broken, hurt lives and marriages, and you restore them to everything that you intended. I thank you that you are, we have examples that show us the hope that we have, that you are capable of not only restoring marriages, but restoring relationships with kids and family and friends and just all of the backwash and carnage that can come from just the hurt that we have and the ways we hurt others as a result of that. I pray that you would just encourage these folks, that you would give them a vision. You tell us in your word that hope that is seen is not hope, that if we hope for what we don't see, we can eagerly wait for it. That's what faith is all about. It's what your supernatural power in our lives is all about. And so I just pray you would encourage them, that they would not grow weary, that they would take the next right step that you have for them individually. I thank you that in the midst of me focusing on transforming and allowing you to do that for me, that you reignited hope for Lucina and just the focus on our own selves and just how people don't change people, that God changes people. And He uses people to do that. And so just pray you would encourage them. Thank you for our time, the ways that we all share the same struggles and the ways that you identify with that, encourage us and help us. And we thank you for the way you love us through Christ. Amen.